Wouldn't it be great to connect with other podcast listeners at an in-person event? Join us for Awakened Lifestyle Expo, August 22nd, 23rd in Orange County, California. Shop among 60 conscious brands and be inspired at over 30 workshops led by some of the most fascinating voices in the consciousness movement today, including Daryl Anka, William Henry, JJ Brighton, and many more. Get 10% off tickets by using the discount code LIMITLESS at awakenedlifestyleexpo.com.
I do believe that we are living through a tremendous period of transition. Sometimes the old systems or the beliefs or just old ways of doing things no longer sustain us. And I feel like we are in one of those moments now. So it feels like everything is getting darker. From my spiritual perspective, I believe that the light is expanding. As more people are becoming conscious and more people are asking deeper questions like, why am I here? Or what's my purpose? And when you kind of turn on the light in a dark room, you don't always create the dust. Now you see the dust. I believe that people are becoming less interested in simply surviving. People are becoming more interested in living with purpose now. My hope is that, you know, what we're experiencing isn't some kind of like a global crisis, but maybe a global invitation, you know, like an opportunity to become more human and a little bit more compassionate and conscious.
Once a day, without warning, a signal arrives. It's a buzz in the left ear, faint like a distant doorbell, and they're asking for permission to come in and connect. Mana Dabhulkar has heard that buzz since she was a small child, long before she had language to explain what it meant or the boundaries to know when and when not to answer. She has built both over the past 20 years, and today she is a renowned psychic medium with the ability to hear names and dates. She's the founder of Conscious Leadership Institute, training numerous individuals to become psychic mediums, and she's also the woman behind Global Gift Initiative, a nonprofit working with children across 17 countries. This August, she will be leading two workshops at Awakened Lifestyle Expo right here in Costa Mesa, and you can get tickets at awakenedlifestyleexpo.com. In this episode, you'll discover how to quiet the static in your own mind, how to strengthen your intuition, and how to recognize the guidance that may already be reaching out to you. I'm your host, David Trotter. Welcome to the Awaken Magazine podcast. Mana, it's great to be with you today. Thanks so much for taking time to join us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I want to hear, as the psychic medium that you are, and philanthropist traveling the world doing good, you not only see the headlines of good things that are happening in the world and not so good things, but you have personally experienced that on a global level. What do you sense is happening right now on our planet? Like, what is unfolding right now among us?
You know, I do believe that we are living through a tremendous period of transition. I do believe that. But I also think throughout our history, humanity has kind of gone through those seasons too, you know, where sometimes the old systems or the beliefs or just old ways of doing things no longer sustain us. And I feel like we are in one of those moments now. Some of my students will ask me, you know, because they just, when you go online, when you go on YouTube or on social media, all you see is just negative stuff. Right. So it feels like everything is getting darker. Personally, I don't think so. Like, I don't think that things are getting darker. From my spiritual perspective, I believe that the light is expanding. That's what I think. As more people are becoming conscious and more people are asking deeper questions like, why am I here? Or what's my purpose? And I think, you know, when you kind of turn on the light in a dark room, you don't always create the dust, right? The dust is already there. Now you see the dust. And I think that's what's going on is we are kind of, yeah, we are witnessing conflict and division and suffering, but when have we not, right? I just think there's incredible level of compassion and healing that is happening now, which is why we are seeing a lot of those other things. Right. And I believe that people are becoming less interested in simply surviving. You know, people are becoming more interested in living with purpose now. They want to live with connection. And even like COVID, you know, since coming out of COVID, the people who really want that like one-on-one connection now, right? So I feel like that's what's going on. And nature also teaches us that life kind of moves in these like cycles. There's always going to be a rhythm between expansion and then contraction, day and night, right? So while we are certainly witnessing so many different challenges, and I see them, you know, I see them when I go to these places, but I also see, because many of our volunteers live and are raised in those places, like, you know, the settlement in South Africa, and I see so much light in those kids. You know, not the ones that we're helping, but the kids who are born and raised there who want to help. And I see that's an incredible movement towards greater balance. So my hope is that, you know, what we're experiencing isn't some kind of like a global crisis, but maybe a global invitation, you know, like an opportunity to become more human and a little bit more compassionate and conscious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. We will obviously link to our previous conversation where we went in depth in terms of your personal story. But if someone were to meet Mona Doblker and say, who are you? Like, what do you do in this world? How would you describe the breadth of how you serve humanity?
You know, I kind of look at myself as a lifelong student. I'm super curious about everything. Even the courses that I design are not designed by a teacher in me. They're designed by a student in me, you know, who wants to know things. But yeah, if someone was to meet with me, I wear different hats. You know, they look like different hats from a distance, but the purpose beneath everything is the same, which is transformation. You know, I really believe that I don't want people to lean on me or anyone outside of themselves for guidance and clarity. I rather have people lean on themselves, you know, find that guidance within themselves. And I think that's my purpose, whether through gift or through CLI and all the teaching I do. It's for people to transform and see the power that they have within themselves.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. On more of a practical level, because that's kind of more of an overarching, you know, description of you as a student, how do you actually do that? Like, practically, how are you living out your gifts in the world?
Let's just start as a psychic medium. You know, I'm a psychic and a medium, more so a medium than a psychic, I would say. I have been a medium since I was little, you know, and more recently I've seen myself be a little bit more curious about grief and death education, as I call it. So I'm expanding even within the mediumship. You know, I'm getting really curious about how we can assist people who are transitioning, and how we can assist people who they leave behind. So personally, I think of myself as a psychic medium. That would be the simplest way of defining who I am. I'm a medium. You know, I'm a channel, and that doesn't mean I speak with dead all the time, but it means I'm a medium to perhaps bringing some kind of healing where it's needed. You know, it doesn't always have to involve death and dying.
Mm-hmm. And then in addition to that, you have your nonprofit philanthropic work, which includes what?
Oh, yeah. GIFT, Global Gift Initiative. So we are a nonprofit. GIFT has been around for almost 10 years now. It's been 10 years. We are in 17 countries, and we do a lot of work with children. I am very interested in children because I feel like they are the future, you know, and we focus on prevention more than after the fact. So the way GIFT started was me getting into anti-human trafficking work a couple of years ago. And then I realized that there was so much funding and so many resources going into rehabilitation of victims of sex trafficking, which is absolutely needed. However, there wasn't much going into preventing it, you know, like education, medical care, making sure that these kids are not in those places where they find themselves. being trafficked. So that's what gift does, you know, and we do it through different ways. Education, as I mentioned, we provide medical services to families who don't have resources to pay for medical care of their kids. We match sponsors with children for education. Then we do Sports for Solar, which is giving out solar lights, but through the medium of sports. And my favorite is more recently, we've added mental health to it as well. You know, we're doing a lot of workshops and free workshops and resources for people who need mental health help, but they don't necessarily have access to a counselor or therapist. So that's what GIFT does. You know, it's through many different ways. It's all preventive work. Focus largely on children, but of course you cannot ignore the family when you're working with a child. It's a unit. So we kind of tend to work with the families.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful. I want to navigate between these two worlds and like go a little bit deeper into both. But I want to start off with more of the psychic medium aspect of your life. And I'm curious, you teach quite a few courses, a lot of courses. And we'll link to that through Conscious Leadership Institute. Is that the mm-hmm. name of? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And for those who don't know, I've been through a couple of your mediumship courses that changed my life. I mean, that really opened me up to possibilities. For those who don't know the story, my partner Mandy owns Behind the Lids Healing Collective in Costa Mesa. And probably 3.5 years ago, she had Mana come into, it was probably three, come in and do a mediumship demonstration, a platform reading at the studio. And I was standing in the back and I really didn't even, I probably, if somebody said, what is mediumship? I'm not even sure I would have really known because that wasn't a focus for me. I did know that it wasn't, something as a former Christian pastor that we should be doing. I knew that we shouldn't be doing this, whatever we're doing. Mana just very nonchalantly, starts, writing things down in a book, and there's probably 20 people in the room. And then she starts calling out the names of loved ones who are present, like Bob and Bill. And it wasn't that simple. It was like real names, and people are gasping when it's very clear that it was their loved one, because it was not just the name, but it was the birth date or death date, or it was just very, very clear. It was not ambiguous in any sort of way. And the thing that happened to me, which I have told you many times, is that I started asking, if this is possible, if this right here is possible, then what else is possible that I don't believe in, or I'm ignorant to, or don't even know about? And so it just opened my mind and my heart up to the possibilities of the interconnectedness, the multidimensionality of our, you know, existence. And so you played a huge role in my opening up to all these possibilities. And you're so humble about your giftedness and the things that you do. And it's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous how humble you are. And also how mysterious you are. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you work on being mysterious, but you definitely are mysterious. I tell Mandy that all the time. I'm like, well, I don't know how Mana is so mysterious. Like, do you feel mysterious? That's my first question.
What do you mean by that? Like, I don't show up on social media? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, you're just kind of behind the scenes, just kind of like, you know.
I'm a hermit, yeah.
What'd you say?
I said I like to stay away. You're right, you're right. And I, more so in more like recent years, I just like to hide, you know. I feel like people who got to find me will find me. That's where I am. And it works out, you know. It works out somehow because I really want to enjoy what I do. And I think the best way to do that is not to overexpose, but to manifest the folks that would love you and you can love teaching and guiding them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You have to work to find Mana. You don't actually, she's on social media, but you are kind of a little bit more reserved. You know, you're not putting your whole life out there, you know, and what you're eating for lunch.
I don't. I like it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I want to hear though about your day-to-day interactions with the spirit realm. When you wake up, when you, you know, are getting ready for the day, when you're eating, when you're like, tell me, what do you sense, hear, experience that you might believe is just normal, but might be of interest to other people?
Yeah. And I think I'm going to disappoint a lot of people, you know, with this answer, but I think it's helpful to know if you're trying to train as a psychic medium. One of the biggest misconceptions is that spirits are constantly talking to me. Okay. And thankfully, they're not. I have spent years learning and creating very strict, healthy boundaries with the spirit world. So if I was wired with the spirit world, let's say 24/7, where, you know, they're jumping in when I'm brushing or I'm eating and spirits are jumping in, I would exhaust myself. I would not be able to function as a normal human being. So there needs to be what I call an open and a shut when you're a psychic medium, more so when you're a medium, right? Which is why training is so important, that we know when we can consciously open the door, let the spirit in, speak with them, and let them out. For me, mediumship is very intentional. So when I prepare for a reading, I'll just break it in two parts. Let's say I'm doing mediumship for a group or a sitter, right? A person, a client. I'll just, you know, step into my classroom. I'll quiet my mind. I'll raise my awareness, allow the connection to kind of unfold. Spirit communication will happen in many different ways. You use many different clairs. Sometimes I'll hear names and dates. I see memories. I may feel emotions, you know, if they're showing something about how they died. Other times I simply get like an overwhelming feeling of, I just know it, like a knowingness. Now, if I'm not intentionally connecting, I'm just minding my own business, once a day, I'll hear like a strong, loud pitch, like a buzzing sound in my left ear. And it's like a doorbell. You know, I call it my doorbell. And that's like an invitation, like that's someone at the door saying, hey, can I just walk in and speak with you? And then it's up to me where I say, if I'm ready and interested, of course, come on in and let me see how I can help you. Now, if I'm not, if maybe I'm just busy doing something else, I'll say, not right now, go get an appointment, right? And at the end of the day, I don't see myself as someone with special powers. I see myself as someone who has spent years learning how to listen, right? And because as psychic mediums, especially as mediums, we are constantly operating in the realm of grief, right? Your clients are grieving. So to be a good medium, it's also really important to be a good death doula. It's really important to have excellent grief education, and all those things require listening.
One of the things that you talk a lot about, as you just mentioned, was boundaries. And I think there are some people that are listening or watching that need to have those boundaries because they have grown up and they're hearing things and experiencing things constantly. I interview those types of people. But then there are other people that don't have that experience and they're trying to break the door open to that realm. Like they get little hints, little experiences, little whispers here and there, but they're going, man, I want the door to be open. I mean, I'm not trying to have boundaries. I'm trying to get rid of the boundaries. How do you help that type of individual?
Yeah, so the best analogy I can give you would be like a radio tower, right? So imagine there's a radio tower broadcasting a signal all day long. The broadcast hasn't stopped, but the radio can get filled with static. There could be noise, there could be dust. So it's not that it's becoming difficult to hear the music, not because the music has stopped, but because you have static, you have grief, you have mental chatter, you have expectations, you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. So the training that we do isn't so much about techniques. Yes, it is. It's more about how do I simply quiet my mind, right? So that's really what intuitive and mediumship training is about. If you can lower the chatter, if you can somehow silent, quiet your mind, the signal's always there. The spirit's always there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how do I quiet? I know I'm asking you to go through an entire 8, 10, 12 week course in, you know, 10 minutes. how do I quiet my mind? How do I get to that place where it becomes like I can hear that signal more easily?
There are different ways of doing it. You know, it's not going to be one size fits all. I would say begin with meditation, breath work, spending a lot of time in nature. You also got to look at your lifestyle. You know, how much do you sleep? How much water do you drink? What are you kind of eating? What are you smoking? Are you drinking? There's so much that goes into quieting your mind. But you see what I mean? So there are different methods of doing it. It's not going to be, you know, one size fits all situation. You got to look at, the best way to explain it would be you look at your life every day and you see what are those moments that kind of put me in a state of relaxation naturally. It could be driving, it could be folding laundry, it could be taking a bath. It could be these like little things that we do where your mind is in the flow state. You know, you're not really thinking, but you don't really have to try hard. Because trying hard is the opposite of intuition, to be honest.
Yes.
So those moments in your life where you're not trying too hard are also the moments where intuition kind of flows in. You know, and if you could just practice those little moments, fold laundry for an hour, you know, I mean, go on a long drive, walk in the nature, go on hikes, like do things where your brain doesn't have to think. And that's how you quiet your mind, just by being in the flow state. And that's going to be unique. It's going to be different for each person.
I was just thinking about, this is not a sales pitch, but I recently got this mask called Luminate. Have you heard of this? Where it literally has a flashing light right here. And so it's connected to an app and you listen to their app music and like the instruction or whatever, and the light is flashing in your eyes. And I have had a lot of success with that light technology dropping me into that you know, trance-like state even more quickly. I can
is
do it
like
on my
a blue
own.
Light?
But...
Is it like a blue
light? No, it's
light?
Actually white. It just has all these different patterns. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But I'm curious now about how, if so, do you work with spirits and or ancestors in guiding your own life? Like as you think about the path of your life or decisions or courses you're going to teach or relationships, like, do you work with spirits in that way or not so much?
You know, yes, but perhaps not in the way people imagine, right? So for instance, I don't ask spirit what stock to buy, like what should I eat for lunch? There is a, I think there's a misconception that let's talk about the dead folks for a second, right? So there's a misconception that when someone dies, they suddenly become all-knowing, they become enlightened, and they're full of perfect wisdom. And you may have heard me say this, right, during those sessions, that in my experience, that's not how consciousness evolves. So death doesn't instantly guarantee that now you're smart and intelligent, okay? If your father was practical, he's still probably going to be a practical spirit. If your grandma was nurturing, that quality is going to continue to come through. Where I'm getting with that is I do not rely on dead people, host material bodies, for guidance, because we don't know what level of healing that individual has been through on the other side, right? So that's why I'm very careful about where I seek my guidance from. Now, rather than asking transitioned loved ones what I should be doing in my life, I spend far more time cultivating a relationship with what I would say my higher self. Okay. And for people who are kind of trying to wrap their head around that idea of your higher self, it's the deepest or the wisest aspect of your consciousness, right? The way I understand it, that we all have a soul, and throughout your life, we can choose how we relate to the soul. So we can become deeply identified with our human experience, our fears, attachments, beliefs, stories, everything that we're doing here, right? Conditioning. Or we could align with our true nature, be more connected with spirit, with love and with what many traditions may call oneness, right? The universal consciousness. So for me, intuition isn't about depending on something outside of me, even if it's a spirit guide. It's about becoming quiet enough to kind of hear my own higher self, which is also a guide, right? Your higher self is your guide. So do I work with guides and angels and ancestral spirits? Absolutely. I deeply respect those relationships. And there are times when I will consciously invite, for example, when I do those platform sessions and behind the lids, I always have my ancestral spirits, they will stand guard when I'm doing the session to support the work and to create a container and to make sure nothing, you know, crazy gets into the space, right? So I use my ancestral guides for that. So my goal has always been to strengthen my relationship with my own higher self that we kind of exclude, right? Most people talk about spirit guides, but your higher self is your first spirit guide. So from my perspective, that's where the clearest guidance should come from. Not because someone else is telling me what to do, but because I'm learning to live in the alignment with who I truly am, if that makes sense.
Sure, sure. When you're connecting with your higher self, do you visualize something? Like, how do you make that like connection? Or is it more of a feeling?
Yeah, at this point, I've been doing this 20 years now, right? But the way, if you're just starting out, I would say give your higher self an image. So imagine your higher self. It could look like you, or it could look like a tomato, or, you know, I don't know.
Give it just better.
Make it with
abs and like muscles and
right. You can make this higher self look like anything that you want to look like, right? And then that becomes your mental image of who you're talking to. For me at this point, it's just annoyingness. I'll pose a question, I'll get the answer. I don't really worry about, you know, how they look like at this point. I just know that there's a very clear guidance coming in. And I've also developed some like physical manifestations of things. For instance, if someone's lying to me, it's the craziest thing. Okay. And it's very recent, it's the last 5 years. If someone lies to me, my body starts shaking. I can't stop it. It's not something I'm doing. It will just start, like, I can see like a visibly shake. And I know that the person in front of me is either lying or they're hiding something that may be harmful to me. And I welcome that. You know, I'm not afraid of that. I'm not trying to analyze it. I'll say, okay, great. Like, now I have a tangible sign of, you know, the direction I need to take.
Fascinating. You have this ability to know names and dates of loved ones who are in the room. It is freaky. It's just freaky. Yeah. How do you know how to do that? How, like, why do you have that ability?
That's probably one of the questions I'm asked the most. Okay. And the honest answer to that is I don't fully know, but I can tell you what I think it is. So I don't decide which pieces of information come through when I'm doing mediumship. No one does. None of the mediums do. We simply learn to pay attention to how they arrive. One of the concepts that I've been teaching my students lately is called the trickle-down effect. Okay, trickle-down effect. I believe that our intuition doesn't just operate separately from who we are. It's going to flow through the unique person that you are, right? You become. So in other words, let's say how you experience your world every day is going to influence how you show up in mediumship. If you're a musician, you're going to naturally hear information in the form of songs or melodies or lyrics. If you're a chef or if you're someone who loves to cook, you may get a lot of tastes, smells, you know, you may get like your clairgustance is going to be really strong. Now, for me, so here's the thing. Spirit works with the language that your mind already understands, right? The dead people are making it really easy for you to get the messages. So for me, one of the strongest aspects of my perception has always been my memory. And this is going to sound crazy. I have what I describe an almost photographic memory, okay, with names, with dates, with places, and with timelines. So I may not remember your face, which is the craziest thing. I may not remember how you look, but once I read your name, I have to read it though. Once I read your name, your birthday, a particular year or time, a memory, right? It tends to stay with me. I don't forget it. And that's how mediumship is happening for me, you see. So it's not something different. This is who I am in my living life, like living world, on the psychic side. And that just trickles down into my mediumship. Now, it's not surprising that during mediumship, the names and dates and anniversaries is how spirit is going to present information. I love it because in platform session, that works wonderful, right? I can move fast. I do receive emotions and memories and personalities. If I'm doing a one-on-one session, I tend to focus on it a lot more. Because in a group setting, it's like a wow factor, right? Oh my gosh, you got a name. But when you're sitting down with someone and doing a one-on-one session, you want to give them a lot more than just names and dates, right? And at the end of the day, the evidence that is coming through is only the doorway, right? The real purpose of mediumship is the healing and the love and the messages that follow. So that's my understanding of why names and dates are so clear for me.
Yeah, that's a beautiful explanation. How can someone who is interested in being more connected to their loved ones who have passed away, having more of an intimate connection, how can they cultivate that in their existence?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I would say, and I said it before, is don't try too hard. Okay. One of the biggest misconceptions that people think they have to make a connection happen, you know, you have to find a way to make it happen. I have to become anxious, or I have to start looking for feathers or butterflies, or wait for some dramatic sign. I like to, like I mentioned to you, the radio analogy, right? If there's static, if you don't believe in mediumship, number one, or if you have fear about speaking with the dead, or if you're grieving, you just had someone die. If there's a lot of mental chatter, a lot of expectations, the shadows, we call them mediumship shadows that show up, then it's going to be a little noisy to connect. But whether someone, you know, whether someone is communicating with a loved one or not really depends on the density of your mind. And you guys may write it down. Okay. This is something that I teach in the classes. Your density, the density of the mind, even as channels, not just as medium, even for channeling, the lighter your brain gets, the faster you connect. Now you got to decide how your brain is going to get lighter. Okay. And I gave you a bunch of ideas, right? Do things which come naturally to you that put you in a relaxed state. Dancing, dance more. Singing, sing more. Folding laundry, fold laundry all day long. So anything that puts you in a natural state of relaxation is the best place to speak with your loved ones, which is why many people see their loved ones in their dreams. You know why? Because when you're dreaming, you're relaxed, right? And that's when the signal comes in real clear. And you're able to speak with loved ones who have passed away while you're sleeping. So imagine that you are up and about, but you allow your brain to be in a state of relaxation. That's when the signal is going to be the strongest.
Speaking of strongest signals, as you know, I have had a few psilocybin experiences, and that has provided me with an opportunity to access things that beforehand I didn't even know existed. I have told you about an experience before, but I want to revisit it just briefly. When I was going through your second session of mediumship level two, there is a large emphasis on ancestral healing. And I found it incredibly boring. I just was not ready for it. And I also felt like, it just felt so intangible. Like I couldn't get my hands around it. And the analytical part of my brain was just like, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
Months later, I'm having this experience here in our home, and Mandy was participating as well. And very soon into the experience, I looked at her and I said, Mana is here. She is here. She is here right now with me. and she is going to take me. She's taking me somewhere. And I mean, it was just clear as day. And I said, she's taking me through an ancestral healing experience. Like, it's just, and she's like, okay, quit bothering me. You know, I'm having my own experience, you know, and I want to talk. I'm like, oh my God, this is what's happening. And then all of a sudden, my grandmother is in front of me, and I'm having this knowingness that there was this deep sense of abandonment within her. And I had known the story, but it had not become like, I revisited it with my parents later, that her father left their family when she was very young, and her mother died when she was like 12. And so this deep sense of abandonment. And I saw very clearly how that had played out with my dad, his sister, and then, you know, like right down to me and like the implications. And there's no need to get into that. And I had this sense that I was going to feel the totality of that abandonment and somehow alchemize it or transform it as it came through me. And I'm thinking, as it's happening or whatever, I'm like, I don't even believe in this. What is this? I don't think in these terms, you know? And then all of a sudden, I'm leaned up against the side of the couch. I'm on the floor, and all of this pain just comes upon me. Just, I could feel it flow through me. And I literally called out like, ah, like as it's coming through me. And you're like right there. And, then after that, through this whole long experience, which you're accompanying me with, which had never happened before. It was so weird. And then I had this experience where literally the veil of life is like lifted, and I'm sitting on the floor with my eyes wide open, just blinking. And it was like, I saw that everything that we see is an illusion. And I was seeing through it, and I was seeing like all of these numbers and it was infinity. I felt like I was seeing infinity and seeing, and at the same time, it was infinity and oneness. Like everything was on and everything was right. I'm having this experience. I'm blown away. I'm just like, and you're like hanging out like right there the whole time. What happened to me? What was going on? Tell me. Oh, guru, give me the explanation of this experience that I had. This was like, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago. It was probably a year and a half ago.
Well, that's what I do when people drop out of classes. I just show up randomly.
You just show up.
And just take them through the, ancestral healing is tough. You know, I'll tell you that. And you need to arrive in it when you're ready. And I think that night was the right time for you. You know, and that was the right way of arriving in it too. You know, maybe the class setting wasn't good enough. But I'll tell you that people go through level one mediumship, and level two mediumship is really hard because now the focus is you, right? Ancestral healing is about you. Level one mediumship is about speaking with some stranger dead people. To mm-hmm. connect them with the families, and you feel good about it, and it's great. Now the focus is me, and that's overwhelming, you know, for people. So a lot of people can't go through level two, but then the ones who do keep coming back to it. So I believe what happened that night, coming back to your question, is you became one with your spirit. Your soul became one with what we call the oneness, you know, in those moments, and you experienced what really enlightened beings must experience when they transition and they die, which is just going back into the ocean of information that exists, universal consciousness. And it's crazy because we believe, and we'll talk about this for a second, we believe that somehow we need to die to attain it, what you went through. There is no guarantee that when you die, you're going to attain it. Okay, there is no guarantee of liberation. As that article I wrote for the magazine, there is no guarantee of liberation or freedom when you die. But there is, you know, possibility of liberation and freedom while you're still alive. We can work towards it, and many have. And you were doing exactly that. And what you experienced in those moments was complete liberation from the humanness of it. You know, you became one with spirit, one with just the source.
Mm-hmm. And what do you sense was happening with me and my grandmother and lineage and all of that?
You were releasing ancestral patterns, you know, anything that needed to be released. But at the same time, ancestral healing isn't just about releasing the bad stuff. It is also about recognizing all the amazing stuff that your family brings to you, right? That's the balance, that we release things that don't belong to us, they have come down to you, which you did, and then also become aware that, hey, just by the virtue of being on this, in this family, in this lineage, I'm an amazing medium. You know, I'm an amazing channel. Why? Because someone before me was, and they just blessed me with it, and I was only focusing on the negatives. So what happened that night was just release of all the burdens that subconsciously you were carrying, and hopefully you've seen change in your relationships then since then too, you know, because you become more aware of all the good stuff in your life.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think you were there? Why were you with me that entire journey?
I was probably just the physical manifestation of a guide for you. You know, I don't know if I was there. It could have been a spirit guide that took my form or looked like me, you know, to make it less scary for you, take you to that experience. Because they obviously during those experiences, you want to be completely relaxed. So the spirit is that intelligent, you know, the life force is that intelligent that it will take shapes and forms that make us feel relaxed. So if you've ever been to a Reiki transmission, the Reiki energy is so intelligent that I don't need to tell where it should go. It goes exactly in your body where it's needed. And that's how all these energy healings work. You know, we think that you're healing someone, but you're really just the medium. It's just passing through you. So that's why I was the medium and you were shown what you needed to see that night. And this goes back to what I was saying, you know, I think of myself as a medium, not necessarily just speaking with dead folks, just a medium for any kind of healing that needs to happen through me. You know, I'm an open, I don't want to call myself an open portal, but I'm a portal that I invite whatever that energy is that, you know, just use me and go through wherever you need to go and do what you need to do. And I'm out of it because I'm not. So even the Reiki class that I teach, you know, I tell my students that even as a Reiki master, you are not healing someone. You're just the vessel that is being used for the healing to happen. So don't give yourself that much importance. You're still out of it and the energy is just flowing through you to wherever it needs to go. And that's what happened that night. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just there to channel it for you. Just to open it for you.
Why are you so passionate about teaching other people how to cultivate their intuitive gifts? Like, I mean, I would assume you spend the majority of your time teaching other people than doing one-on-one work yourself these days.
Yeah. And I don't think I arrived there overnight. You know, it actually happened gradually through thousands of readings. As I mentioned, I've been doing this for 20 years now, and really early in my career, I did what most psychic mediums do, lots of readings, and I still do that, and I absolutely love mediumship readings. I feel like it brings a lot of comfort to families that are grieving, but over time, I noticed something, you know, as much as I enjoyed giving people answers, I found greater joy in teaching them how to find those answers themselves. I realized I wasn't as interested in becoming someone's lifelong source of guidance as I was in helping them kind of build confidence in their own intuition. So it was a process. And I don't believe intuition belongs to just you or I. Right? I believe it's part of our human nature. And some people may develop it more naturally, just as some people develop like music or sports very naturally, right? Some people, it just comes to them. But generally, I believe that every person has the capacity to strengthen their intuition. And for me, teaching isn't about creating thousands of psychic mediums. It's transformation. It's about helping people trust themselves. And that's more gratifying for me. And there's absolutely a place for readings. You know, people often seek a reading during moments of grief and uncertainty or transition. And those experiences can be very healing. But if you asked me that, if I had to choose like one path for my life, or, you know, spend my time giving readings or teach, I would most definitely choose education, because every single time, because education changes the relationship people have with themselves. And I love that. I love seeing that. My hope, I'm not kidding with this. My greatest hope is the people I love, you know, my students, leave the classroom needing less of me, no more. You know, if they walk away trusting themselves and listening to their own intuition and wisdom and never come back to me for that, then I've done my job. You know, that's how I feel about transformation.
The courses and training sessions, the certifications that you have, how would you describe those as unique from other things that are, you know, available?
I think the biggest difference is that I'm not interested in offering shortcuts because I don't believe a shortcut exists in spiritual work. Okay, you really have to put in the work. So we live in a world where people want a weekend certification, right? And or a very quick technique that promises like to unlock some gifts. But real growth doesn't happen that way. And even my shortest class, which is the Reiki 1 and 2, is 8 weeks, right? And plus, on top of the 8 weeks, they do 6 hours of, let's say, medical intuitive training. And then there'll be practice hours on top of that. And you will not find that anywhere else, right? Because people do Reiki over a weekend, like a Saturday, Sunday, level 1 and 2 is, that's Reiki. But I always say that Mikao's Usui, right? Usui Sensei, the person who developed the Reiki that we study today, went through a 21-day fast in a mountain in a really cold season before he discovered Ki, which is the life force. So if it took him 21 days to channel that kind of energy, how do you think you're going to study something like that in like 10 hours, right? So whether you're developing intuition or becoming a medium or supporting someone through grief or sitting beside a dying person, the greatest instrument you're ever going to use is you, okay? So if you haven't done your own inner work, no technique can compensate for that. And that's how, and that's why all the stuff that I teach, we spend as much time developing the person as much as we do on developing the skill, right?
I think your superpower is your ability to, and this is such an overused term, but I can't think of something else that works better, is hold space for the individual to step into a greater dimension of who they are, like to step into their greatness. Like you really have the ability to hold space. And I think it's your belief in all people, but when you're in your, that classroom, as you say, that Zoom classroom environment, it feels like you're specifically believing in me. And I'm like, this is crazy. How can this woman believe in me? And yet I'm knowing that she does. And I think that belief and simultaneously, obviously the knowledge, the wisdom, the experience, all of that credibility, it creates this environment for people to then like rise up in their character, in their, you know, abilities. That's what I think your superpower is.
Thank you. You know, when you left the level 2 class, I knew you were going to leave. It's so crazy. And I mentioned it to someone, I think it was Jen, because she did the connecting with your ancestral guides for you.
Yes.
And I just, because I feel like when I'm in the classes, I'm really tapped into each one of my students. Okay, I know, even if they won't tell me, like they don't email me or text me, I just somehow know what's going on with them in terms of the classes. And it's not like reading their mind or anything. I just have a general sense of it. So if I know someone's having a hard time studying something, I'll reach out and I'll offer, you know, like let's meet up. I don't know how that happens. And I love it that as long as they're studying with us in the classroom, I kind of know. And then I think it's really important to not force people, right? So they have to come in, because this doesn't happen overnight. So it's not going to be the right thing for some people at the right time for some people. So you got to let them just grow at their own time and pace.
Good stuff. Okay, so I want people to know about some of the courses that you are offering. So you've mentioned Reiki, we've mentioned level mediumship. Just go through the whole list and tell them how they can learn more about it.
Yeah, so... let's start with the shortest one. Okay, it's Reiki 1 and 2, and then the Reiki Master Level Training. Then mediumship 1 and 2, psychic level 1 and 2. There's no 2, but level 1 and level 2 would be like tarot, you know, whatever they want to expand into after they study basic psychic. Grief education. So we have a course that is about 10 to 12 weeks on just grief and helping support family members or friends who are going through a grief situation, or even yourself, because grief is something that's going to happen to each one of us, right? Then death doula, which is my personal favorite, because I think people think of death doula as like, oh, I don't want to be a death doula. It's like, but you know, someday someone's going to die in your orbit and people will look at you to help. So death doula is lovely because you actually get to support people who may have experienced the death in their family, or maybe someone in your family is dying. So how do you show up for them? So that's death doula. Those are the ones that come to my mind right now. They can actually find all those courses on the website, clius.org. And then the mediumship 1 and 2 and the psychic 1, I collaborate with Behind the Lids for that, right? So if you are studying with Behind the Lids, those classes are also listed on the Behind the Lids website. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Behindthelids.com. All right. So Global Gift Initiative, you've got work in, I think you said 17 countries. And where can people go to learn more about that and support your work there?
The website, ggiusa.org, ggiusa.org. Gift is, you know, when people look at gift and then they look at CLI, they, like I mentioned, you know, people think it's like two different things. This is a nonprofit and this is like a spiritual institute. No, they're the same thing for me. They're both bringing about transformation in this world. In different ways, but that's the purpose, you know, that's the purpose in, and you can bring about transformation in so many different ways, not just spiritually, right? There are people who, like the kids that I work with, David, in South Africa, they're not thinking about Reiki classes, you know, they're not thinking about mediumship 1 or 2 because they don't have food in their bellies. So transformation for them looks different than it may look for you and I. So we just want to make that available in different ways.
And I'm super excited that you'll be presenting 2 workshops at Awaken Lifestyle Expo, August 22nd, 23rd in Costa Mesa. So tell us about these 2 sessions and what people can experience.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to that. So the first one is a 75-minute session on spirit communication. Last year, I just spoke about mediumship, right? I told them how mediumship happens. This year, I want to try something different. I want people to experience some of the foundations for themselves, right? So we are going to explore some nice little exercises to quiet the mental chatter that you kept asking me about. You're like, how do they do that? And maybe I'll have some handouts too, you know, so they can take some stuff home and practice it. So that'll be that first workshop that's happening on Saturday. On Sunday, I'm just giving readings. So that's going to be platform session where lots of people in the audience, I'll be the medium and I'll be inviting spirits, family members to come speak. I may even add psychic in it. I'm thinking I'm going to combine psychic and mediumship. So people walk away with something. Everyone should walk away with something from that session, right? So I was super excited for both of those sessions.
I love it. I love it. I will tell you, I did have a vision. I don't want to put this on you, but I'm going to put it out there that if you ever wanted to collaborate with me on doing mediumship and channeling, where I channel messages for people who don't get mediumship readings, I'd be interested in that. That would be fun
for me. Oh, wow. That'd be lovely.
Yeah.
That'd be lovely. Yeah. We should explore that for sure. We should explore that.
All right. AwakenLifestyleExpo.com. All right. Last question that I know people are very curious about is, what toothpaste do you use in order to get your teeth that white?
My dentist asked me that yesterday. And I was I swear, I'm not making this up. Literally, they're like, do you do something to your teeth? I'm like, no, good DNA. Thank you, Mom.
I love it. All right. Well, we will put all of your links in the show notes, of course, and people are excited to see you at Awaken Lifestyle Expo. I want to thank you for how you have impacted my life and Mandy's life, and thank you for all the great things that you're doing in the world. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Wouldn't it be great to connect with other podcast listeners at an in-person event? Join us for Awakened Lifestyle Expo, August 22nd, 23rd in Orange County, California. Shop among 60 conscious brands and be inspired at over 30 workshops led by some of the most fascinating voices in the consciousness movement today, including Daryl Anka, William Henry, JJ Brighton, and many more. Get 10% off tickets by using the discount code LIMITLESS at AwakenedLifestyleExpo.com.